Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can give us a call at 855-450-3733. We will take your calls on anything but this evening. It is Mark with you.
And Cantwell.
And we have a guest on this evening. It is Kit Walsh from the Electronic Freedom Foundation.
Electronic Frontier Foundation.
EFF.org. That's right. And we're going to be talking about net neutrality. And you set this up, Cantwell?
Yeah, I set it up because Ian and I have had a couple of conversations while you've been out. Welcome home, by the way.
Thank you so much. Good to have you back, Mark.
And I'm hostile to the idea of this net neutrality, right? I mean, we've got a situation basically where there's obviously not enough competition in the marketplace as it comes to internet service providers. If we're depending on where you live, you're lucky if you have two choices for internet service at this point.
That's about right, yep.
You might have a little bit more with wireless and whatnot, but this rarely makes for, with the technology that's available on the market right now, wireless obviously. You're using your cell phone as your only internet connection is not viable for most of us. So, I mean, there's a legitimate problem that we don't have the market competition for internet service. And thus, if internet service providers decide to start doing things like giving preferential treatment to certain types of content or filtering certain content, then we've got a bit of a problem there because then we don't have a choice to go to somebody else. And so this idea of net neutrality has become popular with a lot of libertarians. And today, while I was looking through the news, I saw a story from the Electronic Frontier Foundation coming out in favor of net neutrality regulations. Changing the idea, as I understand it, is they're going to reclassify it. And that's part of what Kit's going to try to explain to us. So there's different sections of the FCC regulations, and they want to put the internet service providers from an information service into like a common carrier, like a telecom provider. And EFF's position and the position of a lot of other people is that that's going to improve competition in the marketplace. And I'm interested to hear that case, because in my book, it just sounds like we're giving the government more control over the internet. And that sounds dangerous.
Let's talk to Kit then. Kit, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
Excellent. I'm quite well. Thanks so much for coming in and helping us out with this issue. I can tell you there's been a lot of confusion on it. And on Free Talk Live, we are sort of the broadcast jack of all trades. People can call in and talk about whatever they want. And if they want to call in and ask you questions, they can do it at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. But that means that we're not specialists on anything. The one thing I would say is that I tend to I tend to default to a non-governmental solution to most problems, and net neutrality has, to my understanding, mostly been a governmental solution, so you're going to have to convince me. Convince me.
All right. Happy to make the case. So just to give your listeners a little bit of background, the Electronic Frontier Foundation is a civil liberties organization that makes sure your rights stay with you when you go online. And so for 25 years, we've been fighting censorship, we've been fighting surveillance, and we've been defending competition and innovation online. And as you said, this year we came out in favor of net neutrality, in favor of some government action in order to deal with the market failure that you mentioned, where we don't have competitive internet service being offered. And this has a variety of harms, both in the internet service market, but also all of the markets for providing services online, from streaming video to payment systems. Anything that you do online is potentially now subject to the distorting influence of an internet service provider that's able to act as a gatekeeper and scrape off your margin and ensure that new entrants don't have the funds to get into the fast lanes that incumbents are able to pay for.
Are they doing that?
They're doing that in contexts where we don't have things like open internet rules. So the secure messaging, sorry, the SMS system,
yep,
which is text messaging, has been subject to a lot of this kind of filtering discrimination. Occasionally a carrier will just throw its weight around and say, you're not going to be able to reach my subscribers today. You want to pay me some more money? So that's not the way we want the internet to look. We like the free and open internet where we have robust competition. And so one of the reasons why EFF got involved in this debate is to show the way towards a very narrow intervention that will have limits on it, but will stand up in court. And so the problem with FCC regulation legally stems back to a decision that they made in 2002 that if you got your internet through your cable modem, it was going to be regulated differently than if you got it over telephone lines.
Ah.
The telephone is a telecommunications service. It's been regulated under what's called Title II for decades, and that's how we got the internet. If AT&T had had the power to say, you can't hook up a dial-up modem to our phone lines, we wouldn't have the internet as we know it today. If AT&T could charge people differentially for that kind of access, we wouldn't have the free and open internet that we've come to rely on. But the SEC decided cable modems were going to be treated differently. And the Supreme Court said, I guess that's within your discretion. We're going to let you do that. And so basically the FCC has the power to say it is or it isn't Title II. So the FCC then started trying to create open internet rules under Title I, which is the alternative to Title II. That's the way that cable modems are classified.
So cable is Title I, and telephone companies are Title II.
Right.
Okay.
And so the FCC has had a series of attempted interventions in this field under its Title I authority. They telecoms sue and get them overturned. And so the latest round of this was last year. Verizon got the regulations overturned, and the court said, you can't do this under Title I. What you're talking about when you talk about non-discrimination to protect competition online is Title II type stuff. That's telecommunications carrier stuff. And even I'm trying to cut through some of the jargon, but telecommunications carrier itself is a bit of jargon. That's basically when you have a service that is transmitting information of the user's choice to and from the user or between endpoints of the user's choice, which sounds...
It sounds like we need jargon for that.
Right. Sounds to me like the internet. It's about user control over what data they're able to retrieve and send.
Largely.
As opposed to ISP control.
So I don't disagree with the strong preference for having an unfiltered internet connection. I had made the example the other day. I mean, I use social media very frequently. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Google, and I'm on Twitter. And I don't like how Facebook filters my content. Well, Facebook is trying to decide what I like, and my preference would far be, hey, well, I subscribe to these content providers. Just show me what the content provider is putting out there instead of limiting it.
Facebook doesn't show the things you'd like to look at.
Of course. the things I like to look at get banned from Facebook. But that's another problem too. Like if Facebook was running my internet connection, I would not like the result of it, right? Because then I would have a situation where it's being filtered and I don't like that idea. I would far prefer an unfiltered social media platform, and I'm on Google Plus and Twitter and that sort of thing. But I think that there's a reason why Facebook is the number one social network, and that's because people are flocking to it because they like the way that Facebook is manipulating their content. And so while I agree that there's a competition problem here that I don't have a choice if my internet service provider starts filtering my content, it certainly seems like there's a market demand for filtered content.
In the ISP context, I don't think that there's enough of a competitive market for us to really evaluate whether users are flocking towards a filtered or a non-filtered option. The open internet that we all enjoy is essentially what's going to be preserved under net neutrality. And the types of filtered internet, so actually we do have an experiment because that was AOL Online, that was Prodigy. Those were all the early networks that had highly curated content that were eventually outcompeted by the World Wide Web and the ability to go out and choose connections and information of your choice. So I think we've seen that. I've got music. Can you still hear me?
Yes. Okay. Can you hold on for another segment? We'd like to grill you some more, if that's possible.
Okay.
Okay, excellent. And you can give us a call if you've got questions about net neutrality. The number's 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live.
In a trial by jury, the primary function of a juror is not to dispense punishment to the accused. It is to protect your fellow citizens from being unjustly deprived of their life, liberty, or property. As a juror, you can say no to unjust laws and prevent government abuses of power by refusing to convict. Legislative, executive, judicial, the fourth branch of government is we the people. Find out more from the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Khalid lives in Gaza. He makes his living as a taxi driver. The engine in his old beater blew up. Now, he makes good money driving people in his cab, but he couldn't afford the $1,300 for a new engine. Free Talk Live helped him get a loan for the engine, and he's back on the road. You can help us help more people by getting your coffee through coffee.freetalklive.com. Make a difference, one cup at a time. Get a free pound to try out the subscription. Cancel anytime. coffee.freetalklive.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk. Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. We have on Kit from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and we'll get right to him in just a moment. It's Mark with you.
And Cantwell.
Ian is at some government meeting and may pop in at, later on in the show, but for now you got us. So you can give us a call. We're talking about basically net neutrality, and this is a difficult issue to sort of wrap one's head around, and it has divided the liberty community. And I think that that's that in and of itself makes it a fascinating subject. So you can, if you've got questions, you need something parsed out, you don't quite understand, 855-450-FREE. Let's go back to Kit Walsh from the Electronic.
Yeah, I think actually one of the reasons it's so divisive is because it's one of those cases where you actually do need a narrow government intervention in order to deal with a threat to liberty and competition that's posed from the private sphere. So because of the... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, please, continue your thought.
I just think because of the power that an ISP has, any ISP, once it has a monopoly on access to a particular subscriber, but particularly when that subscriber doesn't have a range of choices, if they don't like what the ISP is doing, or if the practices are so subtle that they can't find out what the ISP is doing, then the market's not going to correct.
Well, and you had mentioned this sort of in the beginning of the last segment. You referred to this as a market failure, and I find that interesting because I very rarely find there to be a market failure except for like a failure to deal with a certain regulatory environment. And sort of the case that I've been making on here is that the reason that you lack competition, as is usually the case, is because of the FCC, because of government regulation, that basically the government is going to control all of the commons, if you will, the commons spaces, and then say, okay, well, a limited number of companies are going to have access to these common spaces to run wires. And of course, the wireless environment that we have, where you know we are hosting a radio show in Keene, New Hampshire, it's practically impossible to get a license just to have a broadcast radio station. It would seem to be with Wi-Fi speeds up to 1.3 gigabits per second now that we could bypass the commons and the wires altogether and have wireless high speed wireless internet access for everybody, if not for the FCC limiting the power of the radios.
Actually, the FCC thought that there was going to be competition with cable services, more competition than it turned out that there was. They thought that wireless was going to work out. They thought that you were going to get high-speed internet over your power lines. And so at the time that they decided that they were going to consider cable modems not to be telecommunication services, they thought that there would be all this competition from other quarters that would alleviate the harms of that decision. But you are pointing to another approach that we can take that helps create competition, and that's fostering alternatives to the ISP. So actually going to this root issue that we don't have competition in internet service provision and trying to solve that. And so one of the types of efforts that we've been working towards in that realm is the community broadband open access model, where the municipality creates the infrastructure of fiber, but then it doesn't run the network. It opens it up for people to provide internet service on that infrastructure, because one of the reasons that being an ISP is a natural monopoly is because there is a high cost to laying your own fiber to all the homes. And really, you don't need all these parallel networks. That's wasteful.
Well, I would say that if you want competition in a market, that wasteful or not, I mean, you need parallel networks if you want to have competition. What you're talking about, community broadband programs, an article I was reading today talked about, I think it was Cedar Falls or Cedar Hills.
Cedar Falls or Cedar Hills
in Iowa. They're basically offering their customers for like $139 a month or something like that. You can get a gigabit connection into your house, which is like great for the people who were there. But when you look at it, now you can't get Verizon. Now you can't get AT&T. You can't get Comcast. That the government basically stepped in before there was a broadband internet service provider, and now has a now the government has a monopoly on the service in the given area. And if you're a private provider that wants to go in there and compete, well, now you're going to have to ask your competitor for permission at every step of the way because your competitor is the government.
Yeah, let me say I share your concern about the government being your ISP. That's one model of community broadband. And the other model that I'm talking about is different. The government is not the ISP. However, the community puts the infrastructure in place so that there is fiber, and then it leases it out so that private companies can come in without the big barrier to investment of laying their own fiber to everyone's homes, and you get a competitive marketplace in providing internet service. And this is the model in across Sweden with internet costs that are a 14th of what they are here with higher speeds. And that is a pro-competition model that's trying to get at the fact that you have a natural monopoly for internet service provision because of the high barrier to entry and the low marginal cost of adding new customers, and also because the incumbents have divvied up the country. Verizon's not investing in order to compete with Comcast, where Comcast is entrenched because it's
sounds like a cartel. That sounds like a cartel to me. Now, let me ask you this, Kit. I don't feel like I've gotten the proposal actually on the table here for what EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, is proposing as far as net neutrality, sort of for the U.S. We've gone off onto a rail in like the what-if land if only we could have a little more free market stuff. What you guys have taken an approach that's sort of working within the system as it exists. Can you explain to me what EFF, if somebody's going to say, I support net neutrality, what are they supporting if they support EFF's position?
Right. So we are supporting a reclassification to Title II, which, as we discussed earlier, basically means if the FCC does this, it should do it using the right legal authority, not using a flimsy legal authority that's going to get overturned in court. And where we have added to the discussion on the pro-net neutrality side is we've been very careful to ensure that all of the proposals include something called forbearance. And that means that the FCC is not going to just take all of Title II and slap it on to broadband service. They're going to apply only the authorities that they need and then forbear from the other provisions. And that sounds like they're just going to say, okay, I promise not to you know, do any shenanigans. But forbearance is a legal term that applies to FCC action where they find that it is not in the public interest to enforce those provisions, and if they want to go back on that decision, they need to go through a notice and rulemaking that's going to make it onerous for them to do more than just address this narrow problem. So that is the way that some of the concerns about broadband, it's going to be a utility, it's going to get this and that, It's not under our proposal because most of the provisions of Title II we think should be forborne by the FCC, and it should focus very narrowly on the unfair discrimination question. What the ISP is able to control what it is users view or send online by discriminating in types of traffic or by destination.
Kit Walsh from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I want to thank you for your the time this evening.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. This evening, it seems as though we started out with net neutrality, and it is always a divisive issue here on Free Talk Live because people want freedom when it comes to the internet. But does that mean laws or not laws? And, libertarians tend to disagree, and you can give your opinion, 855-450-3733. And I forgot to mention, I think it's worth mentioning, we can also take your Skype call. Our username is lrn.fm, that's as in Liberty Radio Network.fm. And that's our username. You just send a request to contact or whatever, and I'll click on it during the show, as I did with a recent person just a moment ago. And then you can call in. You'll sound great. So it's Mark with you.
And Cantwell.
Cantwell, thanks for coming in on this cold New Hampshire evening.
It is cold out there, man.
Indeed. You know, the net neutrality thing just sort of shows the ways that we come in contact with the government and its influences every day. And those are things that you really can't avoid. For the pieces of paper that one needs in order to get through life, I think LegalZoom.com offers a great option, because what they do is they ask you questions, then they sort of generate the legal document that you need, and this is significantly less costly than using an attorney. Now, they aren't attorneys, but they were started by an attorney, and their paperwork's been approved in all 50 states, and they have had millions of people use their service. So I'm just looking at an incredible list of things they do here: leases, deed transfers, copyrights, name changes, prenups, powers of attorney, pet protection. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Divorce, immigration. And that's just half the list.
You need an attorney for your pets now.
Indeed you do.
Or at least LegalZoom.
LegalZoom.com. If you use coupon code FTL, you will save on your order. It's $10 off, and that's pretty good when some of these documents are, you know, just tens of dollars. So coupon code FTL at LegalZoom.com. I got my will there, and it was fast and easy. LegalZoom.com, coupon code FTL. Let's go to Joe calling in from New Hampshire, listening to Free Talk Live on the Internet. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about what the last caller was talking about with the community Wi-Fi, community networks, and Electronic Frontier Foundation, and net neutrality, and all that.
Yeah,
I love EFF. I'm a member of the EFF, but I'm not 100% behind. You know, they're a big supporter of the local government-owned networks, and I'm definitely not in favor of that. As soon as you let those guys start running your internet infrastructure, you're going to have just a horrible situation. And I mean, if you don't have,
I like what he said. If you could get the government to do it, but asking the government to build a multi-million-dollar internet infrastructure in your town and then leave it alone sounds very much like, I don't know, asking the government to come in and run anything and then leave it alone.
Yeah, and then you're only going to have one. You're going to have the same problem. You're going to have one entity controlling the last mile. And even if you allow other other companies to sell services on top of that, they're still stuck with that infrastructure. So if the government improperly manages that infrastructure or has massive cost overruns, then you're still going to have a horrible service. It's just like here in New Hampshire, we have FairPoint as the main teleco. You know, they own the last mile for the whole phone system, and you can buy services from other providers, but you're ultimately running over FairPoint's horrible lines, regardless, right?
Yep.
So it's going to be the same situation. It's just going to be your local government doing it instead of the some corporation somewhere.
And it's ultimately, it becomes like the roads, right? It's like, well, if you don't like the government, you must not like travel or something.
You don't like the internet.
Right.
I mean, how the hell are we going to have the internet without the government?
Exactly. And this is a situation that, you know, now the roads are so tightly controlled. There's, you know, people lying in wait and speed traps and that sort of thing. I mean, they're going to treat it, I picture them treating it the exact same way. If they've got the last mile, well, then they can put up, checkpoints and barriers along that last mile. There's no limit to what they can do. And that I'm hearing the EFF do this. And by the way, EFF is listed on toplibertarian.com as the number two libertarian website on planet Earth. Okay, so this is not like the ACLU or some, you know, left-leaning outlet. This is a largely liberty-leaning group. And so that they're gonna say that, just it absolutely blows my mind while we're dealing with the Silk Road trial in New York City, that Ross Ulbricht is on trial for his life because the government has gone through the interwebs and gone to shut down and put a guy in prison for web hosting.
And then the EFF runs the Tor project. I mean, they're a great, great organization. I recommend everybody join them. But, you know, they are, you know, no organization's 100%. You know, they're definitely on the wrong side of that issue. But I do have a solution to the problem.
Let's hear it.
I've negotiated a lot of big contracts with telcos, and I think about this constantly because I work in information technology. And the solution, the problem is that, people say that telcos are natural monopolies. And usually the people who say this have this circular logic too, because they'll say, well, the capital cost to build up these networks is so massive that they can't do it without the government help. But then they'll say, no, the government also has to grant monopolies to some company to so that way there's not a million different providers running lines up on the pole. So which is
right. They say it's very expensive to put the copper or the fiber up, and they've been putting fiber up since I was a kid, by the way. It's very right. expensive to put up the copper and the fiber, and so therefore what we have to do is grant these people a monopoly so that they'll be willing to put up the copper and the fiber. And so there you see, it's a natural monopoly.
Well, maybe copper and fiber are not the best ways to provide internet access. And I mean, one of the things that Kit had said was that, well, if such and such had happened back in the 1990s, then we wouldn't have the internet of today. And I think that's really fallacious thinking. And I mean, look, to Kit's credit, Kit works in the legal department, I believe, of EFF. So Kit is dealing with legal matters and is perhaps not an economist. But to say that, hey, well, if this law hadn't changed in this year, then we would not have all of the benefits of modern technology is just it's a complete failure to look at the economics behind these things.
Yeah, and so the ultimate problem is the government has essentially stolen land from people and giving it to telcos and utilities at the last mile. You know, they can put a telephone pole in your front yard, and that's that. And that's the real problem. They need to give all that land back to the people who own it. And then they can form co-ops, preferably as small as possible, and let them contract with whoever they want to manage their infrastructure. That way they actually have buy-in. The people who own the land are also using the services, and they have a stake in it. And I think that's ultimately the best solution is co-ops, I think.
I think property rights tend to solve problems, yeah.
I like where you're coming from on this, but I mean, I do see the point that EFF has here where this problem was created decades ago when they gave the telephone companies monopolies, and now the idea of just sort of essentially what the libertarians are saying in this circumstance, and it's not that I disagree, is, you know, let the internet burn and then we'll rebuild it. Because if you let these big companies that currently exist and currently provide us internet, and that's the way we're used to getting our internet, then at some point or another, people, it's going to get so bad that I'm just like, I'm not dealing with these people anymore. The only thing I can get is Google and Facebook. And, I've got to do something else. And then we start working amongst ourselves to create these co-ops, as you suggested, but man, I mean, what it's going to, the amount of pain between here and that co-op, I think, is going to be heavy.
I don't think that would work at all, because if all you had was Google and Facebook, Google and Facebook would go after your internet service provider, because they would be ruining their business model. The way Google and Facebook provide you with content is by pulling content from elsewhere on the web. If your internet service provider is going to be like, well, you can't have Pornhub, you can't have blah, you can't have blah, you can't have blah, well, then your Google and Facebook are going to be like, look, I'm not going to provide any service to your customers, because you're not allowing them to do anything, and they're not going to use my service.
Wait a minute. Yeah. No Pornhub?
You got to have Pornhub.
Go ahead, Joe.
Ice in the street. We'll have a revolution if they take away Pornhub. I mean,
thanks for the call. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Net neutrality. Like I said, divisive issue in the Liberty community. 855-450-FREE or LRN.FM on Skype.
And now from the Cato Institute, the Cato Constitution Minute. When it was unveiled in September 1787, the Constitution's opponents feared it would erode the power and authority of states. But as Madison wrote in Federalist No. 8, the state governments will have the advantage of the federal government, and they'd serve as an essential check against centralization. State legislatures would elect senators to be delegates to the new federal government, and they, along with officials in each state, would serve as a check against any expansion of federal power. And further, state governments were closer to voters and could be held to close account. Thus, the states worked as a barrier against the growth of federal power and any encroachments on individual rights. Finding the right balance of state and federal power to protect individual rights has remained a vexing question throughout American history. To learn more, visit the Cato Institute online at cato.org.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Have you noticed that in a disaster, the store shelves are emptied? Don't panic. You don't have to be part of the fear and chaos if you have a supply of GoFoods. GoFoods can help you rest easy knowing your greatest dependency of food is covered. Call now to take advantage of our Freedom Packs or set up your food savings account. Call us at 1-800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 1-800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
Hey, I'm Ian. And Cantwell.
That's right. Ian's in the little chair tonight, or at least for now. So I just wanted to bring you up to date real quick, Ian. I know
you were
away doing something.
Cheshire TV Board, meaning local cable access channel.
Yeah, thanks for on. Thanks for keeping me free.
Keeping freedom of speech out there, man.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm doing.
And so we had Kit Walsh from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I always do that.
I did it even when writing it down and showing up. I was apparently not the Electronic Freedom Foundation before. I heard about the interview.
You're so harsh. So Kit was on explaining net neutrality and the EFS solution in a complicated government-infused world, what their solution to the problem is, and, you know, it's not exactly completely pro-freedom, I gotta say.
Yeah, the idea here was basically what Kit was advocating is what Kit describes as a very narrow government intervention, that the FCC basically should reclassify. Internet service providers are currently classified as information services and escape a whole lot of regulations and can do certain things that a lot of people say they wouldn't prefer, doing things like prioritizing bandwidth for certain content providers and perhaps even limiting.
Which we don't have a problem with, but you're saying the EFF does have a problem with prioritizing?
Well, look, I don't like the idea of internet service providers screwing with my internet connection. I don't like it, but I don't have a problem with it where I want the government to go and enforce them to stop, right? The EFF does want the government to go in there and force them to stop. And the reason that they feel that way, and the reason a lot of libertarians feel that way, is because there's not competition in the market. And of course, we've spoken about this before.
So
that
solving the government created a problem with more government, and that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's go to Mac calling in from Saudi Arabia about running red lights. Mac, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, there's going to be a bit of a delay in the line, so let me just kind of throw this out there, and then I'll, I don't know, hang up or just listen or whatever.
But we'll see how it goes.
Where I used to live, it might work okay. Sometimes the delay is minimal, and sometimes there's quite a lot of delay. But where I used to live about maybe 10 miles outside of a pretty small town. And there was a red light, inexplicably. I mean, it made no sense. And when you drove out of my driveway, down the road, onto, you know, and then you're going to turn left onto the main highway to go into town, which I did, you know, 5 to 7 times a week usually, there was a red light there. And if you obeyed the law, you would sit your butt right there at this red light for 10 minutes. I timed it. It was about 10 minutes that you would sit there before that would go through a cycle. And this adds up to about 40 hours a year of sitting there at this red light.
Yeah, what a waste.
And so I started running the red light. And I figure for about a year and a half, I ran that red light at least 5 times a week. I would approach it. I would treat it like a yield sign, basically. I would approach it. I would stop or slow way down almost to a crawl. I'd look both directions. You can see clearly for miles, so you knew if it was safe to go or not. I mean, if you didn't know, if you couldn't ascertain whether or not it was safe to go, you pretty much had no business driving in the first place is how I look at it. And so I would stop, look both ways. If it was safe, I would go. 90% of the time it was, because there was very little traffic out there. Sometimes there would be a truck coming or something, and I would stop and wait for the truck, and then I'd go. Or sometimes there would be a cop waiting for a guy like me running the red light, and I would stop. Anyway, I posted about this on a libertarian forum online. Unfortunately, because of my work schedule, most of my activism occurs online. I used to be a real-world activist, but now it's just mostly online. I posted about this online on a so-called libertarian forum, and about half the people on the forum started trying to bust my chops, saying, oh, yeah. Yeah, and because I described it as a victimless crime, which of course it is. Oh yeah, well you just are trying to say that you should go willy-nilly running red lights. You're trying to. One guy said I was trying to be a Rothbardian bad ass.
What kind of libertarian forum was this?
Well, it was an anti-cop Facebook group.
Really?
The anti-cop libertarians are taking you to task for carefully going through a red light? I mean, what a ridiculous bunch of whiners.
Well, I would say that if you regularly run a red light, the one thing that you have to worry about is sort of your judgment on that light, because you need to really be conscious as you're doing it, because you just get used to it. But other than that, I've got to say, I don't believe for a second the government bureaucrats are the best qualified people to decide where a red light needs to go every time.
I say,
move to Keene. We do it all the time here.
And if it's taken 10 minutes for the light to change, then obviously, they haven't done such a good job with the timing.
Yeah, timing's awesome on that thing.
If you're sitting at a red light for 10 minutes and there's no traffic, then there's clearly a problem. And I'm not necessarily surprised. I remember when I think it was Eddie Free tried to organize it. They had like a National Blow Red Lights Day thing that they did on Facebook, and people were freaking out at this event because a lot of people did like the invite all friends thing to the event. You know, basically, event spammed anybody. So there are people who aren't necessarily libertarians and people who are, who have been found this event, and they're like, oh my God, a national day of blowing red lights. You people are out of your minds. You're going to kill people. What's next? Drunk driving? And they went, you know, completely nuts about it. But in the description, it's like, pull up to the light, look both ways, and if there's nobody there, then go. But, of course, everybody just thinks that, hey, oh my, red light. Oh, you're a baby killer.
I was on the island of Grand Cayman last week. Not a red light that I could find on the island.
So the intersections, no lights whatsoever?
No lights. Now, they had the roundabouts, mm-hmm. which I think are a great solution. I know many people don't like them as a solution, but I think they're
all
awesome.
Roundabouts? All of the intersections?
Not every intersection was a roundabout.
So some of them, four-way, people just dealt with it,
people
right?
dealt with them like a stop sign situation. Mm-hmm. If it was an intersection where a four-way stop would have been, then it would have been a roundabout, or a stoplight would have been, it would have been a roundabout. It's, but if it was just one where, like, the stop sign would have led onto the main road, it was treated that way.
Yeah, so you said, Mac, that half the people on this libertarian anti-cop forum were talking trash because you wanted to go through a red light on your own volition?
Right, yeah, exactly. About half, maybe a little bit less than half. Usually it fell into two classes. There was the one class who were trying to say, listen, you know, you're all about anarchy or whatever, but anarchy doesn't mean endangering people, and you're clearly endangering people when you blow through red lights. And they tried to characterize it, and over and over again I said, no, I'm talking about treating it like a yield sign. You go up there, you look, right. you stop, you
treating
look.
Treating it like a thinking human being. Right. Treating it like a human being who can use your brain to determine whether or not there's some sort of other hurtling contraption coming down the road at you in that given moment when you're at the red light. I mean, this is just the most ridiculous thing. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised given the hand-wringing that went crazy throughout the libertarian movement when Chris, you and myself and others were featured on the Colbert Report. Oh, my God, you're ruining it for the rest of us, Mac, by running the red lights. You're going to destroy the liberty movement.
Yeah, you're gonna blow that. You're gonna go take that light, and then a baby's gonna die, and then there's gonna be tyranny for all of eternity. You're gonna be responsible for the rise of Hitler, sir.
I think the worst anarchy here on the show this evening is Ian's use of the word myself.
Did I use that?
You said Cantwell, myself, and others, and it would be Cantwell, others, and I.
Gotcha.
I do that. Guys,
myself. Drop the myself. It doesn't make you look smart. It's only myself should only be used in a sentence if you're referring to yourself a second time. That's not exactly right, but it's pretty close when talking about the reflexive. So
myself and Irene.
Myself in the foot by using bad language. I'm sorry. What was that, Mac?
Right. I was just going to say. Then the other criticism was that. Because I described it as a victimless crime, and then you had people, alleged libertarians, and they were saying, "Oh yeah, well tell that to my brother who lost his wife because a guy blew through a red light and knocked her off her motorcycle. Tell them it's a victimless crime."
He was also drunk at the time.
That kind of thing.
Well, he was in a car. I mean, why not just go after everybody who dares to step foot in the killingest these death machines that kill more Americans than anything else?
Well, as you know, I mean, I became something of a pro drunk driving activist for a while. I love to say it that way. I mean, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but you know, as I studied that, you know that the vast majority of fatal accidents are caused by sober drivers, and it would thus seem to me that sober drivers are really the problem on the highways, and we should ban them altogether.
Yeah, Mac, I think the solution here is to get off the internet forums, because the real libertarians are moving to New Hampshire.
I find it so frustrating, any of these, having these conversations about the ideas of liberty on Facebook, because I never feel like I convince anybody of anything. And I've done all this writing, this essay, this homework for these people who have no value for it. It's worse than school. 855 453.
Thanks, Mac.
Live.
Cold winter weather. It makes my skin so dry, itchy, and irritated. Can I get some help, please, for this winter skin of mine?
Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing has the strongest non-prescription itch medicine available. Its 7 moisturizers help heal skin, so you'll stop itching and start feeling relief fast.
Ah, my skin feels like it's been on vacation, even with 10 inches of snow outside.
Itch-free, worry-free, Cortisone 10. Use as directed.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Dobby Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brainworm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com to